This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by Delia Ephron, the screenwriter behind films like You've Got Mail, Michael, and The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. She's written memoirs, most recently Sister, Mother, Husband, Dog, and plays like Love, Loss, and What I Wore, written with her late sister Nora Ephron, which has been performed all over the world and which will be performed locally this fall at the Carnegie Theater. Now Delia offers Syracusa, a novel published just this summer by Penguin Random House. Welcome, Delia.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm thrilled to be talking to you.
Oh, good. I'm so excited.
I loved the book.
Oh, thank you.
Tell us the setup for Syracusa.
The setup. two couples and a child are on vacation in Italy. And Michael and Lizzie are a New York couple, literary, and their lives are secretly in disarray. He's having an affair, and she does not know it. Finn and Taylor, who are their friends from Portland, Maine. Finn has a restaurant. He's kind of a working-class Irish guy, but he's got a very cool restaurant. And his rather chic wife and their child, who... is she shy? Is she cunning? Do we love her? Do we fear her? Snow becomes a very important character. Anyway, these couples, and Lizzie and Finn, now married to other people, had a summer fling in the past. And Finn's feeling shut out of his marriage because his wife, Taylor, is a little bit more in love with their daughter than she is with him, which, as we know, happens in marriage sometimes. So these couples are heading towards Syracusa on a vacation in isolation, and this is about betrayal and deceit in marriage, and everything goes up in smoke in this Sicilian town, Syracusa, on the Ionian Sea.
And one of the fun elements of reading the novel is that it's told in alternating points of view by the different chapters. And I wondered, you've sort of given us a glimpse into each of the main characters, which one you enjoyed writing from the most?
Oh, my gosh. I actually love them. I was really into writing the man. I have to say that it's four characters, and each of them has a different voice, and you alternate among them, and you find out that some know things the others don't, and then some discover things the others don't, and then also people talk about each other behind their backs, so you know, you get to hear what people say after the dinner is over. So, I mean, I just really got into the heads of men on this book. And it was really fun to write Michael and to write Finn. I mean, Michael's a novelist and a playwright, so it had to feel like he really knew something about writing. But Finn is kind of looser. He's kind of a raconteur, and he's a great storyteller, but his language is more street. And I just loved it. But the real trick of the book for me was to switch voices, to let you know what each of them was discovering and learning and hear their opinions, at the same time just moving plot forward at a very rapid pace so that the story's just moving like a bullet.
Yes, it's described on the back of the book as a psychological thriller. And I thought that was a really fun kind of tagline for the story.
Yeah, well, you know you're heading toward a catastrophe and the suspense builds. You don't know what it's going to be. You read this, right? You did not know, did you?
No, I was quite surprised. There are little glimpses, though. I mean, I think the tension builds in part because the characters are sort of telling the story retrospectively. So you see that whatever it is that happens has big implications for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a kind of shifting. I mean, everyone in this book betrays and is betrayed in ways they don't expect. And you keep finding those things out as you go.
And as you said, we do hear from the four adults, the two couples, but the character of Snow, the child, remains a little bit of a mystery. And I wondered if you could kind of talk about a little bit more about Snow.
In addition to exploring marriage and all the ways that there's a line early on that told me what this book was. Couples collaborate, hiding even from themselves, who is calling the shots and who is along for the ride. In addition to really exploring the nature of marriage and the ways people make deals in marriage and do collaborate and collude and betray, I was very interested as well in mothers and daughters, because I think now parenthood has been elevated among some people to this very sacred thing. And mothers who have children are often, not often, but sometimes suspicious or distrusting or don't think that women without children have as much empathy, sympathy, depth. I mean, Taylor thinks Lizzie's stunted because she doesn't have kids. And the thing about Snow and Taylor. It's Taylor doesn't know where she starts and her child begins. So if it's happening to Snow, it's happening to her. If it isn't happening to Snow, it isn't happening to her. And there's a kind of almost toxic closeness. So I took the idea of how I think many parents are sort of overseeing their children in a very kind of compulsive way. Not all, but some. And I just pushed it a little further. Also, Snow is shy, so from the very beginning, Taylor worried about her, and now this has become, now Snow is turning into a problem, and Taylor's not really aware of it. So I was investigating mothers and daughters and the suspicion of women who have and who don't, each their private opinions of the other because of it.
Do you think that this catastrophe that changed all the people on this trip could have happened if they hadn't been traveling? What role does sort of travel and the setting play?
So important. I mean, first of all, travel is isolating. And if you, I mean, Michael is having an affair. The last thing he wants is to be on this trip with his wife. The sexual expectations, the isolation, he absolutely doesn't want it. We all know how vulnerable you can feel on a trip. You know, if things start to go wrong on a trip, that it, you don't have your familiar world around you. You don't even necessarily know the language. So certainly none of these four people know Italian. So there's a kind of way that a trip can really exaggerate and isolate. But let me just say about Siracusa, because it is a character in this book. When I went there the first time in 2008 or 2007, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's this falling down place on the Ionian Sea. And in 212 BC, the Romans knocked all the trees down and used the lumber to build warships. And then instead of replanting, they paved the place. It's a stone paradise, all right? And the ancient footprint rules. And when you're walking down these tiny, windy streets with these tattered buildings, it is really extraordinary. And the first day I was there, I thought, you know, this is the most magical place I have ever been. And the second day I thought, if I spend one more minute here, I'll go mad. And I knew immediately that it was the place to send these couples. I was hatching this idea about marriage because a long time ago, this psychoanalyst said to me, this thing I love, what we think of as chemistry is really psychology. That two people falling in love across a crowded room is just each of them spotting his or her perfect neurotic match. Isn't that chilling? And by the way, I think absolutely true. You know, I mean, even in my long, happy marriage, I was well aware of what a perfect neurotic match we were. And you do often go to dinner with people and you leave and you say to your, you know, whoever you're with, you say, do you believe they're married? I mean, how does she put up with that? Or how does he deal with this? Or, you know, there's a kind of unbelievable matchy thing about marriage that I wanted to get at. And the minute I was in Siracusa, that idea about marriage and Siracusa just slammed together in my head.
I feel like as we're talking about this, we just have to talk about the food.
Yeah, the food's really great. Oh, the food in Sicily is pretty spectacular. I mean, this story starts in Rome, where the food is no slouch there either. But there's something about the purity of Sicily. I mean, it's when I went back to do research, I had to travel as my characters, all right? I mean, I went, and then I thought, oh, I'm going to set a book here. And then, oh, my gosh, I had to go back, right? So I went as my characters. I knew who they were when I went back. And Lizzie loves the food markets. And the food markets, I would have gone anyway because I do love food markets. But there's a kind of, I mean, it's this humble, beautiful place with these fresh fish on slabs of ice and 18 varieties of oranges and vats of almonds and pistachio. They make pesto with pistachio there. There's just, you know, and the food is so fresh and that pasta is really spectacular. So I love that. And, you know, I don't really know about wines, but what I didn't know, I just, you know, researched the hell out of, really. I mean, I had a friend who knew everything about wines. I was going to call it and say, wait a minute. Okay. They're having an antipasta in the Piazza Duomo. What wine are they drinking? And he'd say, a Caraconte. And I'd say, great. You know, and I would, you know, what you don't know, you ask. But it was great also because, you know, I mean, my idea of travel, I don't know what yours is, but it's walking and eating. That's it for me. And when I went back, as I had to be Taylor, and she's a culture person. So I went to the Greek ruins, and I went to the Caravaggio, and I went to you know, the Da Vinci exhibit. And then Finn likes to cruise dive bars late at night. He likes to go off on his own. And so, of course, at 2 in the morning, my niece is 24, I might just want to say that, are in this bar. And there's karaoke blaring, and we're hanging out. So, I mean, it's really crazy to travel as your characters, because you travel in a completely different and very exciting way.
Well, it sounds like you had a blast writing this book, and I have to say I loved reading it.
I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you so much.
Is there anything else you want to say about the book, Delia, or what you hope that readers are going to take away?
You know, I'm very excited about how shocked everyone is by the ending, but what I really loved about writing this book was to keep you surprised over and over again as the book went on, and that interwoven within these, it's not a thriller exactly, but it is something, don't you think, the suspense keeps building. Into that, I have woven all sorts of ideas about marriage and friendship and whether betrayal in marriage is worse than betrayal in friendship and what the nature of those betrayals are and what the nature of marriage is and friendship and motherhood. So I want you to not only have a wonderful read, but it to be provocative about your own life.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and discussing the book with us, Delia.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
I've been talking with Delia Ephron about her new book, Syracuse. More information can be found on our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.
Città